Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Imagine this. I got a question that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to answer it. Is can you truly let go? I mean, think about this. Can you truly let go and trust the leadership of God's Spirit in your life? Yes. But really, there's folks right now that may never know that you can let go and you can trust, you can totally let go and trust the leadership of God's Spirit in your life. It's an amazing thing. I mean, just so much stress is off of your life when you're actually like, I'm not leading this thing. God's leading this. Yeah, I'm being faithful with the mundane things. I'm taking care of what God says. I'm spending time abiding with Him, but He's leading me. Mm-hmm. Or another one is it possible for God to lead us in His plans without us knowing what those plans are? You missed that the camera was on me and not them. They're like, yes, true. To our amazement, my brain was not used at all. It's it's exciting to find. It was God.
I'm really not that smart.
Yeah, right. And so the question, you think about this. And an example, I want to talk about two particular men. One man, was in the military. He was potentially Italian. He was over an Italian regiment. He had 100 men that he was over and responsible for. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a devout man who loved God, who prayed on a regular basis, and he was very kind and giving always to the poor and meeting the needs of others, and he was just a very godly man. But he wasn't a Jew. And then this other man's name is Peter, and Peter was a fisherman, a Jew, who Jesus called to be his disciple and led him to himself. And when Jesus went to go be with the Father, he sent Peter with the other disciples to this particular place in Jerusalem. He said, I want you to wait for the promise. And then when Jesus got to heaven, the release of the promise came on where they were. You read about in Acts chapter 2. And all of a sudden the church was birthed. Well, you had these two different men. They didn't necessarily know each other because actually it was illegal. A religious law was illegal for the Jew, which would be Peter, to even have anything to do with the centurion, which his name was Cornelius, because he was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. So it was illegal for them to even have a relationship, to hang out with each other or anything of that nature. And at this point, when you look at it from Peter's perspective, because now he's a Christian, he's a Messianic believer, that he feels at this point that basically only the Jews can be saved. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this faithful non-Jewish centurion regiment leader named Cornelius was in his home, and his family was devout towards God and his friends. I mean, if you're going to hang with him, I mean, he's a man of authority. He understood the things of God. He just had a passion for God. He was respected amongst the Jews. And, but one day, because suddenly, and I want you to just start expecting suddenlies in your life. You know, so many people focus on trying to make a suddenly happen, realize just be prepared at any moment and any time that a suddenly can happen. This is what happened. Just suddenly, one day, he had a vision, and an angel showed up. And an angel showed up and said, listen, that all your prayers and your giving to the poor and your faithfulness, has come up as a memorial offering before God. Think about that. That in so many people, the enemy just attacks you and say, you've been giving God, honoring him with his tithes and offerings, and you're giving to the poor, and the enemy's told you that, what difference is it making? It's making a huge difference, because it was this very thing that came up as a memorial before God. And God's like, man, I want to bless Cornelius. I'm going to bless him. So he sent an angel to this man's house, which was illegal for Peter to even go to. So he's having this encounter with God. And if you would have asked Peter at this moment and the other apostles, Could Cornelius even have an encounter with God? They would go, obviously not. He's unclean. Right. He's impure. You know, he's a Gentile.
Right.
But that's not what was happening. God was just focusing in on this Gentile, this non-Jewish man, because of his faithfulness. He said, those that love God and are obedient to him, he knows that God recognizes them. And so at the same time, the angel says, listen, when I'm out of here, I want you to send men over to Simon the Tanner's house. He's living on the side of the water out there, and there's a guy staying there. His name is Peter. I want you to send for him and tell him, you know, I asked you to come and speak to you. And so immediately, as soon as the angel leaves, Cornelius, who is a military man, he had people around him. He obviously moved in authority. And he said, you know, you three come here. And one of them was a soldier that served him, as well as two servants. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is what happened. I want you to go to Simon Tanner's house. I want you to find Peter there, and I want you to tell him what happened and ask him to come. And right there in America, that pretty much stopped.
Right.
You're going to tell me what to do. What are you doing telling me what to do? We hired you around. You don't be telling me what's going on. I mean, sending me where? Or secondly, they would be going like, I don't know. Can I go to Simon Tanner's house? Is it okay to go over there? And besides, I might lose my job. If I lose my job, this might not be. And let me just get a partner base. If I get a partner base and write some letters to let people and let them know that I'm going to go over to Simon Tanner's house. I mean, it's all these reasons. Like, I need to verify. I didn't hear from God myself, or therefore it can't be God, you know, even though I've been watching this man, you know, walk with God and serve God or whatever. I need to hear myself. I mean, that's pretty much, you'd probably hear a lot of that in America, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't come over that way. They would just go, I'm going to pray about it.
Yeah, right.
That's how it's interpreted. And so, but that didn't happen because this was a man of authority. And it makes me think of the centurion that Jesus saw when he had a servant that was sick, and he went to Jesus and said, listen, can you pray for my servant because he's sick? And Jesus says, yes, I'll go. And he goes, oh, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I mean, my goodness, you're the Son of God. Listen, I myself am a man under authority. I got people over me, and I got people under me. I tell one to go, and he goes. I tell one to come, and he comes. And Jesus goes, Mike, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel.
Right.
Why? Because he understood authority. He knows that Jesus is one in authority, under authority, and he did exactly what the Father told him to do. He didn't even do his own, just whatever God told him to do, he did it. And the thing was to be around Jesus. When Jesus commands us to do something, we just do it. And that was happening with this centurion when he had three servants and he just said, listen, go. And they went. Imagine if we just start hearing and obeying.
Mm-hmm.
This is how God works. Understand at this point, Cornelius has no idea what's about to happen.
Nope.
He's just somebody that loves God and honors God, and he obeys God. Peter doesn't know what's going to go on. As a matter of fact, if you ask Peter at this point, Peter would be telling you, that's never going to happen, not in my lifetime.
Right.
Yeah, I think he had a few issues down the road about sitting at tables. But anyway,
yeah, he did.
But even he would tell you, because God has not let Peter in on what he was going to do fully. Cornelius is just excited because an angel showed up and has talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really going to happen in the context of this thing is very, very powerful. And so as they're going, as these three men are going, now as they're going, think about it, as they're obeying God, God begins to speak to Peter. And when we get back from this break, we're going to find out what he said.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking
over
there.
He got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to vfntv.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
Yep. He had a seat. The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on that?
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? I'm thinking, but I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a ruler. It was really bad. And I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want to wear those kind of seats.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you think about it. Here, Cornelius and his three obedient servant soldiers are going out because God said it. Cornelius repeated it. He sent these three men out to go to where God told them to go. And Peter don't even know they're coming yet. Peter's just hanging out over at Simon's house. You know, Simon and Simon. You don't think about it.
He's up on the roof getting a tan. Yeah.
Well, you know, he is actually over there at Simon's house. This guy's a tanner. And Tanner, you think about a tanner. The one takes the skins of animals and pulls them out and puts them in the sun and all those different things. And so he's hanging out at a house. So let's get past that. He's at a house. And he goes on the roof to pray. And as he's going on the roof to pray, he gets hungry. And so they're fixing him something to eat. And that's a long process, by the way, when you don't have a refrigerator. Do you want to eat that one or this one? Because you got to kill it, clean it.
Let me know. I've got to prepare it.
Yeah, and besides, I can use the skins. Anyway, so while he's on the roof, and he's physically hungry, but as he's praying and kind of probably in and out a little bit, all of a sudden he just falls into a trance. Peter falls into a trance, and God begins to speak to him, and this is how he speaks to him. Now, understand now, Peter don't know what's going on. Cornelius don't know what's going on. These three men going don't know what's going on. God knows exactly what he's doing, and everybody knows in part and prophesies in part, but God knows it all. But what you do is you have these people who obey God, and God's will is being fulfilled. And so he has this trance, and all of a sudden in this vision, this trance, a sheet gets lowered down from heaven, and inside the sheet it has a lot of what was considered unclean animals, and the law said don't even eat these animals. And all of a sudden this voice comes and says, you know, get up, kill them, and eat them. And Peter goes, I've never done that, Lord. I've never eaten these unclean animals. And then the voice comes back a second time and says, don't you ever call anything unclean that God has made clean. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's huge. Mm. And this happened three times. But you know what? Peter still don't even know what God's going to do. All he knows is that my whole life I lived in thinking that this is impure and that's not impure. This is unclean and this is not unclean. But if God, calls something clean, I got to change my paradox. Even if the law says is that this person's unclean, that's not how God sees it. And so as he's wondering, you know, he's sitting on the roof and he's wondering about, you know, what does all this mean? What's going on right here? See, he still doesn't know. These men come up to the house and they're about to start shouting out for his name. And suddenly, as he's thinking now, he went from wondering to thinking about what God had said to him in this vision. The Lord says the Spirit of God says there's three men coming. They're going to ask you to go with them. Don't hesitate. I want you to go with them. I mean, it was that quickly. All of a sudden they cry out. They go, hey, you know, is Peter here? And he goes, yeah, he's here. He invites the unclean, formerly unclean folks into his house, which obviously his paradox has changed. And so he only knows that these three men have come for him at that last moment and second, and he brought them into the house, and they're no longer unclean because God is saying, I've told, sent these people to you. This is what you're supposed to do and go with them. And so now here they are eating together and they're about to go to another Gentile's house, Cornelius's house. And they tell what they knew. What all they knew was an angel showed up and said that you're going to tell us something. That's it. And so the next day they take off and Peter takes about six men with him that were in Joppa. And that's where he was, I believe. And he went over to Caesarea where Cornelius was at. And as soon as they get there, Cornelius falls on the ground at Peter's feet and begins to, you know, like, oh, holy word. And Peter's like, get off the ground. Oh my goodness. I'm a man like you. Right. What are you doing? But it shows you, even though he was a man in authority, he was very humble and very open and very wanting whatever God had to offer. Mm-hmm. So then Peter asks this question. He says, well, first of all, he says, you know, it's illegal for me to be here. He still doesn't even know yet. God knows now, but Peter doesn't know. It's, you know, it's illegal for me to be here. How many people would be, by now, they'd be so offended. If you bring up I'm unclean one more time, I'm out of here. Right. If you bring up my fallen nature, I'm out of here. It's like, this guy's saying, it's illegal for me to be here, but God's told me to be here, so I'm going to be here. And not to call anything unclean that he's made clean. But then he says, well, tell me what happened then. Why did you bring me here, Cornelius? And so again, Cornelius repeats the encounter again. How many people have gotten tired of telling their testimony? And it's like, what do you, you had an encounter with God and you're tired of telling about it?
Right.
We're talking about Cornelius' testimony now. Never stop getting tired of telling folks what God did. And so he's saying specifically, he's like, this is what happened. The angel appeared and he said that you're gonna tell us some stuff. So I sent the guys to go get you and here you are. Here we are. And he invited his friends and his family there that was Cornelius did. And they're all just sitting there with their hands crossed. You imagine their hands in the lap going, okay, tell us, Peter, whatever God commanded you to tell us. In the presence of God, tell us. So Peter thinking, oh, I guess I'll just preach what I my standard message that I preach when I come out, you know, which we need to get back to. But he preached the gospel. He said, God's commanded us to go about. You know about this Jesus. He began to talk to Cornelius as if Cornelius already knew about Jesus, because he did. But he had yet to make Jesus the Lord of his life because obviously it wasn't presented to him yet. But he talked as if Cornelius knew. And so here's Peter's like, okay, I'm going to preach. And he starts preaching the gospel. You know, God sent his son. He lived amongst us. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And God has raised him from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And now he's commanded us to go and tell other. And right in the middle while he's talking, God interrupted him and did what he planned to do all along. He baptized Cornelius and his household and his family with the power of the Holy Spirit. He baptized them in the Holy Spirit. I mean, right in the middle of his message, God's plan was revealed that he is going to save the Gentiles. It's not just the Jews, but it's also the Gentiles who can be saved. The non-Jews can be saved too. So the six guys that are with Peter, they're going like, my goodness. These guys are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues just like we did. They're just like us. And Peter's like, who am I to get in the way of that? And he commanded that they be water baptized. Two different ones, right?
That's right.
The first one, they were baptized by Jesus. to their surprise, to Cornelius' surprise, to the three men's surprise, to the family's surprise, to Peter's surprise, to the three, six witnesses that came from Joppa who were Christians as well, to their surprise. But God says, this is what I'm going to do. And what's so cool is you had all these people who follow God, and they were willing to follow God without knowing all the details. Mm-hmm. Because if God told us all the details, we'd probably mess it up. If he would have told Peter the details, Peter would have probably started like calling Jerusalem. Hey, there's a Gentile want me to swing out to his house and preach the gospel, but we know, can we get like a stamp of approval for this? You know, I mean, all kinds of things have been going on. They want to know the end from the beginning. How's this thing going to work out? And will I lose my job? And it's like, no, they just went. And when they did that, they found out that God chose to save Gentiles. This is how they found out. They didn't know he was going to save the Gentiles, non-Jews, until when they first, Cornelius first saw the angel. They didn't know when they sent them into Joppa. They didn't know when Peter had the vision. They didn't know when they were coming back to Cornelius' house. They didn't know when Cornelius told Peter what happened. They didn't know when Cornelius talked about, here we are in the presence of God. Tell us what God's commanded you to do. And when Peter was preaching, he didn't know. You know what he didn't know? He didn't know that God was going to save the Gentiles. And how did they find out? Because Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in unknown, a heavenly language, speaking in tongues. That's how they knew. Mm-hmm. And a long story short, they carried that all the way to Jerusalem. They were upset with them at first, but when they told them exactly what happened, they said, who are we to get in the ways of God? Peter said, when this happened at Cornelius' house, I remember what Jesus said. This is what he said. John the Baptist baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. I want to encourage you, don't shut the door to the very one who opened the door to us to get into the kingdom of God. It was because of the Spirit of God that the Gentiles came in. How in the world now are Gentiles saying, I'm not even going to let the Holy Spirit in my church,
right,
if that is. So I want to encourage you, let's remember the ways and the words of God. And yes, you can follow God. You can let go, follow him, and not, you know, in all the details, and his will be fulfilled. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.